Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will meet now one of America's beloved pastors. Cecil Williams has been pastor of San Francisco's Glide Memorial Methodist Church for 50 years. That means he's been there through the hippies, the Panthers, the earthquake, the gay rights movement, and the AIDS crisis. The church, located in the Tenderloin District, if you know San Francisco, is known for radical inclusion. An article in the San Francisco Gate describes Glide Memorial as a place where, quote, homeless people sit next to college students and where the crack addict and the self-assured corporate executive can overlook their differences, unquote. In the new book, Beyond the Possible, Cecil Williams and his wife, Janice Mirakatani, co-founders of the Glide Foundation, remember the early days of the church and write about what it means to promote unconditional love. Pastor and Ms. Mirakatani, thank you so much for joining us. Hello from New York.
Hello.
Brian.
Good morning. Good to hear your voice.
Pastor, when you first started at Glide, what did you do differently that earned you the praise at the time of Maya Angelou, Warren Buffett, Huey Newton, and Bono? That's quite a diverse group in and of itself.
Quite a diverse group, and that's what we stress at Glide. One of the things has to do with everybody is accepted, everybody, literally. And that means that different kinds of people, different classes of people, different races, different cultures can come together and be with each other at Glide, because we have a large number of programs that they can work at, but we also have what we call a celebration at the church itself. And that means that on Sundays, we open up possibilities of what we would call breaking free, what we would call affirming ourselves, what we would call affirming our loves with our brothers and sisters, no matter who they are or no matter where they come from.
And you made, I understand, a controversial decision, Pastor, early on to remove the cross from your church. That's unusual.
That's right. I knew that the cross in many ways symbolizes death. And in many ways, many people get caught up in death rather than life. And we celebrate life at Glide. And that means that anything that deters from making sure that life is affirmed and life is lived and life helps people to grow and to become certainly strong in their convictions and in their communities and neighborhoods, that we must make sure then that life flows in a place like Glide, and hopefully that's exactly what happens.
And Ms. Mirakatani, go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead. No, it was a very revolutionary act, of course. And I thought, when I first came to Glide, I was very, very anti-religion, so I wasn't going to get close to a church. And then I met this minister who was doing all of these very wild things, and including opening the doors of one of the most segregated institutions in America, and it was welcoming everybody in. And I just taking down the cross was a major symbolic movement for me in regards to living in the shadow of the cross, living in the shadow of being judged, being unworthy, and being sinful. And removing that really liberated, I believe, a lot of people to know that they could be independent, they can be themselves empowered.
And so did it become for you, Ms. Mirakatani, who I read came to the church as an agnostic, a process of accepting Christianity? Or besides the cross, did Christianity not even have to do with it after a certain point, as opposed to just pure community?
You're very sharp.
May I call you Brian?
Please.
Well, Brian, for me, it was a process because I came in darkness. I came in self-destruction. And I was, as a Japanese American, in my infancy, interned in a camp along with 120,000 other of us Japanese Americans. And I don't know how many people on the East Coast know about that history. But not only that, but a past of real childhood abuse. So I came in darkness. And when I met Cecil and I could experience the acceptance and the belief in who I was, then I think it was much more an issue of spirituality growing, not so much Christianity and not so much anything denominational.
And Reverend, in past decades, Glide Memorial has seen such radical social change. I mentioned, you know, in the 50 years that you've been there, that you were there through the hippies, the Panthers, the earthquake, the gay rights movement, the AIDS, HIV crisis. What sort of challenges does the church face essentially today compared to some of those eras?
Well, first of all, we still face the issue of the isms of neighborhoods and communities and of people. The isms having to do with racism, the other kinds of isms related to senior citizens, isms related to how people live and how they engage their lives. Neighborhoods are still many times if not segregated, certainly close to it. Churches are still tinkering and dealing with issues that they should have worked through some years ago. Just the fact that people need to be cleared of all of the rubbish that they have to go through and that we have to go through to get things done, for instance. We're always looking for rules and regulations to put ourselves in a position of being able to say no to people when we should be putting ourselves in a way to say yes to people. We affirm people. We have a large number certainly one of the major things that we engage in, notions that we engage in, has to do with unconditional love. We certainly start with the poor. Our asset and our conviction has to do with those who are hurting most, those who are going through the rubbish, those who are going through not being themselves, and those who are still treated like they are animals. So what we must do is turn that around, and that's what we've been trying to do, is turn it around. When I first was appointed there, I said to the bishop, look, I'm here, but I'm going to turn the church upside down. And that's exactly what I've been doing all these years. The future also stands for me to continue to turn the world upside down. We should be a strong people, a courageous people, and yet we're not that kind of people when it comes to issues.
And so,
Glide is not a one day a week church. We provide services 7 days a week, 365. So we serve almost a million meals a year. And, you know, we are accused sometimes of perpetuating dependency. But truly, if you serve people with love and genuine care, I think that that is a liberating act. And we believe in justice. We believe in economic justice. We have 87 programs. We're not a soup kitchen. We serve three nutritional meals a day. And we also have a clinic, mental and primary health clinic, as well as recovery programs. I think one of the issues that we face today is still violence and profiling and the major issue of sexism and classism. I mean, we were reading in the headlines where women are going to be the hardest hit by the economy, by the cuts that are going to be made by the federal government. This is not okay. I mean, it's going to perpetuate violence rather than investing ourselves in preventing and helping people recover from violent behaviors.
And so the church is a mix of unconditional love, as you put it, Reverend, and also nonviolent protest. So it's unconditional love intersecting with social and political activism.
Yes.
And unconditional acceptance. Because if you can't accept some people, you're still gripped then by what we would call a slave mind. So we must be able to accept people where they are rather than where we would like for them to be. Because if we have to do what we feel that they should be, we'll be working the rest of our lives and the rest of the centuries to come. What we must do is capitulate. We must render ourselves. We must stand and say, at last, you are my brother, you are my sister. And no matter how you come to us, we will make sure that you are one who is reaching the point of courage and of acceptance and of love and commitment. And you are my brother, my beloved brother and my beloved sister.
And I guess nonviolent protest is not the same today in all facets as it was in, say, Martin Luther King's day. While you were writing the book, you mentioned you were in the process of creating an app that was inspired by the death of Trayvon Martin. I'm curious,
yes.
Did it ever get created?
We're in the process of creating that. And Trayvon, you know, we just celebrated a year since his death. And we're still seeing so much gun violence in our communities. And I think that that is a real concern for most of the nation. And that is, you know, how do we deal with crime? How do we deal with the rising sense of violence that is occurring every day? We see, you know, the headlines all the time about murders and gang wars and so forth. And again, GLIDE takes a unique, I think, a unique approach to violence. And what we try to do is not only name it and deal with it and look at ways in which we can abate violence by providing services and recovery programs for women who are victims, but also for the men who themselves are the violators. And we have got a program that I think is very unique in that we've grown from 5 men to 30 men and even more men who are showing up to look at what the causes of violence and anger is within themselves. I think that's the only way that we can really get to the issue of violence. What can we do to prevent it? What can we do to abate it? What can we do to open our arms to those who are facing circumstances of an enormous challenge that creates the anger?
And these are the hardcore men. I mean, they are
many ex-felons.
Really,
yeah,
that's right. They're there, right out there, and you have to get. I think also, Jan, it has to do with conversation. We don't talk with and about people who've either been to prison or in prison, but we don't also converse with people who are in the power structures, the police department, etc. What we must do is create a conversation, a meaningful conversation, and begin to walk with each other rather than talk against each other.
So you're saying bringing people together so that they can tell each other their stories. I think if we humanize one another rather than profile, which is, you know, what I think a lot of what Trayvon Martin's situation is that this profiling, and particularly racially profiling young people, has been a major cause of a lot of violence.
But talking about the hardcore felons in the congregation, and again referencing the line about the church in the article in the San Francisco Gate, that it's a place where the crack addict and the self-assured corporate executive can overlook their differences. How hard is it to create that kind of community? Because really, people, I think, tend to go to church with people like themselves, by and large.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, if you ever come to GLIDE, you will see that you're not there just of yourself. You don't. Most of those folks don't look like each other. They don't look like themselves. But the important thing is that they know that they are not only welcomed but affirmed. You know, we can confront corporate executives. And we can confront also people who stand in our lines. We have literally thousands of people who come to GLIDE on every day of the week, and they know that GLIDE is there to help them become empowered. We are an empowering agent in the community, and that's what we ought to be, and I hope that's what a lot of folk will become. It's empowerment that counts. It's helping people so they can reach a point where they can help themselves and where they can stand on their own feet and make it count and go into. There's some folks, we have 3 new buildings, housing buildings, and for homeless.
Affordable low-income, right.
Yeah. And the interesting thing that's happened is that some of the folks who moved in some of those homes are now moving out to buy their own places. And that's significant, even though they have permanent housing there if they want it. But what we do is experiment. We engage. We are not afraid. We take risk. We move and spending a lot of time on how we shall do something. We do something and then say, well, what did we do?
I think, Cecil, a very, very strong element is the diversity that you've been talking about. I think what we believe and we've witnessed over the last 5 decades is that when you encourage diversity and people begin to experience their differences, it really, really deepens and widens our humanity. And it really, really, it reveals ourselves more than even the other. So I think that's where transformation occurs, is when you have to challenge your own assumptions and you yourself have to choose to transform.
And we have to leave it there. Cecil Williams has been pastor of San Francisco's Glide Memorial Methodist Church for 50 years. He and his wife, Janice Mirakatani, are co-founders of the Glide Foundation, and their new book together is Beyond the Possible. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the threat to orange juice in America from a disease that's attacking citrus trees. Stay with us.